Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you again. Seems like on Sunday morning I point the car in this direction and knows where to go now. We're going to be looking in the scriptures at Mark chapter 10. So if you would turn there now, and we'll be reading verses 35 through 45 in just a moment. Last fall, my wife Lori and I visited in the East, and we went through Ohio. And as we were driving around in the countryside, all of a sudden we came up on top of a hill, and all of a sudden we came onto the back of a buggy, and we had to hit the brakes to keep from hitting it. As we began driving more and more around in that country, we came to the conclusion, this is Amish country. Very different kind of people, but they certainly stand out in their culture with their dark clothes, the women with their long dresses, their white bonnets, the men with their lengthy beards, and they look very different from the rest of the world. But we began to notice as we were driving through the countryside, all the Amish farms looked the same. They all had no electricity, no telephone lines running to them, all had clothes hanging on the line drying, all very neat farms, and the corn, it was fall, so the corn was nicely stacked in rows. The farms all looked like each other, and yet the people looked very different from the rest of the world. Not conforming, and yet conforming. Not being like anybody else around them, and yet being very much like each other. And it brings to mind the question of, does God want us to be different? Does God want us to look like the world, or to be very different from the world? Well, obviously, God wants us to be different. He's created us in His image. That means we're to look like Him. We're to be representatives of Him. We're to be holy like Him. Now, the Israelites had some problems understanding what that meant many times. They tried to blend in with the people around them, and always to their detriment. Now, in the New Testament, the plan doesn't change. God still works the same way. Jesus tells His disciples that they're to be different. They are to be a light, a candle. They're to be like a city set on a hill that people could look at and see the difference. God plants His people in a very unique position, if you stop to think about it. There is no other place in all the world where three continents come together as there is in the land of Israel. And God planted them there purposely so that lots of people traveling through to the different continents would see them and would notice that they are different. So the question for us today is, different in what way? Well, we saw in the scripture reading from 1 Peter that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, that God has called us out of darkness into His light, and so that people could see that difference. So, how should we be different when it comes to so much pressure to conform in our society? Is it mostly an outward difference like the Amish? Or is there something more to it than that? One day in Mark, as Jesus was walking this earth, two of His disciples came to Him with a question. And they discovered what it meant to be different. So let's read from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. And again, if you wouldn't mind, please stand while we read from God's Word. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Now when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, this is your word. It has come to us down through the ages. Many people have given their lives so that we could be here today to hear your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have inspired the prophets and the apostles. And Lord Jesus, you who are the Word, we pray that we might understand your living Word today. And Heavenly Father, would you open us to your Word and your Word to us this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes Christians try so hard to be different, to stand out. And it may come in the form of outward ways, the ways that we dress, the style that we have, the things that we pursue, the self-denial. But there are also other Christians who, it seems, try very hard to blend in with the rest of the world. Don't look too different. Don't be too different. They have the latest styles. They have the same cultural attitudes as the people around them. They have the same pursuits, the same pleasures, the same position. The simple fact is that we cannot be completely different in our own style. We have to copy someone when it comes to whom we're going to be conformed. None of us can be original. And I think what this passage is teaching us this morning is that we need the one who is different to make us different so that we can be a difference to others. Let me repeat that, maybe restate it a little bit. We need the one who is different. We must have him in us in order to be different, in order to make a difference. If we're like the rest of the world, how's the world going to see Jesus in us and through us? We're not different from anyone else. How are people going to be attracted to us? Jesus is certainly different. So how will they see us? How will they see Jesus in us if we're not different? Now, I'm assuming one thing here, and maybe I shouldn't assume this, but let me challenge you. I'm assuming that you want to make a difference in your world. I'm assuming that you want to have an impact in your particular corner of the world where God has placed you. I'm assuming that you want to be an influence on others for good. Now, that is not an option. That's not something we can decide to be or not to be. Jesus here says, you are different. You are light. You are salt. Be what you already are, what God has made you to be. If you want to make a difference, then let's look at what the Scripture says here about that. Let's look more closely at James and John's experience here. They certainly wanted to be different, but in their experience, what we learn here is three things really about ourselves. Like James and John, we're not too different from the world when it comes to our wants. What does the world want? Well, the world wants power. It wants position. It wants good looks, attention, success, plenty of stuff, the right kind of stuff, the latest stuff, a good marriage, good health, a good retirement account, fun, happiness. Are those things that you want? Think about it for a minute. Are those things that you want? Then how are you different from the rest of the world? It's not that these things are necessarily bad. It's that they're not the best. What did James and John want? Well, they certainly wanted position. They wanted the right hand and the left hand of Christ in the kingdom of glory. Maybe they wanted influence in the kingdom. Maybe they wanted honor, some attention. They certainly wanted to share in the power and the authority that Jesus had in the kingdom. They wanted preferential treatment. They wanted something ahead of the other disciples. If you think about it, essentially, James and John were treating Jesus kind of like a magical genie in a bottle. Give us what we wish. Grant us a wish. Give us what we want. Well, if I were to ask you, if you had one wish, what would you wish for? One wish. Maybe it'd be something for yourself. Maybe it'd be something for your children. Maybe it would be success. Maybe it would be a good future. Any number of things. You know what I would wish for? Three wishes. Always a little bit more. You know? I'm reminded of the story of these two, a husband and wife. They were celebrating their 60th birthdays together. And they're celebrating, and all of a sudden this fairy appears and says to them, you have been wonderful examples of a great marriage. Everybody looks at you and they know what it means to be a husband or a wife. I'm going to give you each a wish. Whatever you want. So she turns to the wife and says, what would you like? And the lady says, well, you know, I'd like to travel. There's so many places in the world I'd love to see. I'm wondering, could I have a round-the-world trip ticket? The fairy waves her wand and poof, there are two round-the-world trip tickets. Then she turns to the husband and she says, what would you like? And he kind of shyly, sheepishly says, well, I'd kind of like to have a wife that's 30 years younger than me. The fairy waves her wand and poof, there he is, 90. Point is, be careful what you wish for, because you may get it. And that's part of what Jesus was saying to James and John here. Be careful what you wish for. I'm reminded of the Psalms where it says that he gave them the desire of their heart, but he sent leanness into their souls. Do we want a lot of stuff, but have souls that are starving? our wants aren't necessarily bad, but they're usually not God's priority for us. Our desire and our want should be God Himself. Psalm 37:4 says that God gives us the desires of our hearts. Now, that can mean that He gives us the things that we desire, but it can also mean that God gives us the right kind of desires. And then He begins to fulfill them. And what is it that we should desire? It's the same thing that Jesus desired. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these other things would be given. Our first and our primary pursuit and our priority needs to be God Himself and God's righteousness. We're to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. And just as that husband should have been a little more careful about what he wanted, what he wished for, you and I also need to be more careful about the things that we want, the things that we wish for. Are our wants in line with the things that God wants for us? Or are they more like the pagan culture around us? How can we make a difference if people can't see that we're different in what we want? But also, like James and John, often we tend to be like the rest of the world when it comes to our ways. We often do things the way that the world does them. People of the world use force to get what they want. Do we do that? They want power, to be able to wield power. As Jesus here says in verse 42, that's the way the world. That's the way the world works. It wants authority. It wants position. It wants to be able to control other people. All you have to do is look at our current political races, climate, and you've got a whole encyclopedia of the way that the world works. Money. Power. Bullying, using flattering words or hard words, behind the scenes maneuvering, fancy rhetoric, threats, promises, wheeling and dealing, and money. Yes, I've mentioned money again. Consider the ways that James and John used here. First, they were trying to use Jesus to get what they wanted. And isn't that how the world works? It uses people to get what it wants. They use their connections and their positions in the inner circle to be able to get what they wanted. They use deception by going behind the other disciples' backs to get what they wanted. And they tried to be the first. And isn't that one of the ways that the world works? Get there first. Beat out your competition. Be the first in line. Be the first to have this, to get that. The world works like that. What are the ways that we use? Well, I know some of you are German. You've got a Prenzler here. You've got a Kirchmeier back there. And I'll bet there are a lot of others here who are Germans. What do you use to get what you want? I'll tell you what I use. I work hard. And Germans work hard. And they work longer to get what they want. But maybe you're using a different approach. Maybe you're one of those people who networks with other people. You do a favor, get a favor. You flatter in order to get something later. Maybe it's coming out bold. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's being forceful in your words, in the things that you do, that you try. Or maybe it's being persistent until you just wear somebody down. Maybe it's the opposite when you don't get your way. Pouting. Complaining. Do we try to impress people? To ingratiate ourselves with them in order to get what we want? We need to remember something that God says in Isaiah 55. My ways are not your ways. And one of the things that's so scary is that the ways that we work, the ways that we're used to getting the things that we want, are so deeply ingrained in us that we're not even aware that we do it this way or we work that way. One of the things that characterizes all of our ways is that we are relying on ourselves. It's self-reliance, self-confidence. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I think that means more than simply, I'm the way to heaven. What I think Jesus means there is, I am the way to what is important. And He's not just the way for us to get what we want, or to get where we want. He is the end in itself. And He is the journey to that end. That's what our way needs to look like. It needs to look like Jesus. If we're not relying on Jesus, if we're not trusting Him to do things the right way, His way, we will resort to our own way. And as I mentioned, the scary thing is that we don't even realize that we're doing that so much of the time. We need to be coming back to the Lord again and again and say, examine my heart. Look at me. Try me and test me. And see if there's any way that's offensive. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We need to look at our ways before it's too late. We think we know what's right. And so often we are wise in our own eyes. And that leads to the third and the last way in which sometimes we're no different from the rest of the world. Too often we're not different from the rest of the world in our wisdom. We often talk about conventional wisdom. What is the proper, the acceptable, the correct way of doing things? For example, in our society, the conventional wisdom is get a good college education, work hard, you're going to be successful. Conventional wisdom says might makes right. Conventional wisdom says first come, first served. Conventional wisdom says the squeaky wheel gets the attention. And conventional wisdom is all around us so much that, again, it's hard to recognize. As someone has said, conventional wisdom is certainly not wisdom, and it's not all that conventional, except that foolishness is so common today. And we tend to go by that. James and John lived by their own wisdom. They were so sure they knew their own strengths and weaknesses. When Jesus asked them, can you handle this? Oh, no problem. Sure, we can handle it. We can do that. And when He calls the disciples together and He tells them, this is how the world works. Power. Yes, yeah, yeah. This is not how the kingdom will work. What Jesus did there was take a great big pin and stick it in their bubble. Isaiah, as he says in Isaiah 55, your ways are not my ways. God also says, neither are your thoughts my thoughts. Neither is your wisdom my wisdom. We're not that much different from James and John or the world when it comes to wisdom, are we? Do we really know, really know, that to be great, we must be the least? Do we really know that to be first, we must be last? Do we really know that we have to die to ourselves if we're truly going to live? Do we really know that when we are weak, then we are strong? So you see, so often we're not too much different from the rest of the world in our ways, in our wants, in our wisdom. So how are we going to change that? Well, we really are going to have to work very, very hard and improve ourselves, right? Wrong. That's the way the world would do it. Try harder. That's not the way God does it. How did James and John begin to become different? It wasn't by anything that they did. James and John spent 3 years with Jesus, and they saw in Him a difference. As He says here, I'm among you as one who serves and not to be served. So they saw one who was completely different. Somebody who was willing to sacrifice. Somebody who was willing to serve. Somebody who was willing to die. And that person has made a difference in the world like no one else ever has or ever will. And after Jesus died and rose, James and John and the other disciples spent every moment that they could possibly spend with Jesus. And they began to watch Him. And they trusted in Him. And as they trusted in Him, they became believers. And God placed within them Jesus. They were in Christ, and Christ was in them. And when Jesus left to go to heaven, He sent His Holy Spirit so that His Spirit might work in them and begin to change them imperceptibly. And that's how they began to change. That's how they began to become different. James became different. He became courageous. And he was willing to stand up for his faith and live out his faith. So much so that Herod certainly saw the difference and put him in prison and killed him. James was now sitting with Jesus. Not the way he thought he was going to get there, but he was there. And his courage made a difference for many other believers. On the other hand, you have John, who lived to be the oldest of the disciples, about 90 years old. Later in his life, John was exiled to an island in the Mediterranean, and he lived there for the rest of his life. John had an impact on the people around him, not through his power, but with his pen. As he wrote the Gospel of John, as he wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, as he wrote the book of Revelation, and it is these words, the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, that began to change people and make them different. Yes, James and John became different, not the way that they thought they would, but the way that Jesus had intended for them to become different. You see, they learned the truth that if we're going to make a difference, we have to be different. But the only way that we can be different is we have the one living inside of us who is different. Like James and John, if we believe in Jesus, we have Christ's Holy Spirit living in us, producing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control. Those are not things that we can produce in ourselves. Those are things that only God can produce. Only He can make that kind of a difference in us. How does that happen? How does that work out in real life? As we begin to spend more and more time with Jesus in His Word, the Word that shows us His standard, that shows us what it means and what it looks like to be different. As His Word abides in us, we begin to abide in Him. And as we abide in Him, we begin to talk with Him as with someone right next to us. We pray. Prayer becomes a part of our lives as we're talking with Jesus all through the day. And we spend time with other believers who are different from the world. As the Amish spent time with each other, they encourage each other to continue to be different. On the outside, we encourage each other to be different on the inside. Let's for a moment think about an animal that is known for its ability to, in one way, be different, and another way, to be like the rest of the world, the chameleon. You've seen them before. They're the lizard that changes color so that it fits in its environment. What causes that change? Is it the environment on the outside? You know, you've seen that Velspar paint commercial where the chameleon crawls across the different colors and it changes to match in those colors. Is it the surroundings that change the chameleon? No. It is its DNA. It's how it was created by God to begin to blend in. God has changed our DNA, if we're believers. He has changed us from the inside out. And it's not our environment that ought to be controlling us and directing and dictating how we change. It is our spiritual DNA through Jesus Christ that changes us from the inside, that makes us different. Our way needs to be to seek Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Our want is to be Jesus, as Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Our wisdom has to be Christ, who is the wisdom of God, so that we might have the mind of Christ. So once again, if you want to make a difference in your world, and I hope that you do, then you have to be different from the rest of the world. But the only way that that can happen is if you have Jesus Christ, the one who is different, inside of you. Now, I think that calls for confession for all of us, because every one of us can look back at our last day, our last week, and realize, I really tried to blend in. I tried to fit in with the people around. And sometimes it was wrong. And so we need to come before the Lord in confession. But I think we also then need to come before the Lord in recommitment and say, Father, I can't change me. I can't be different on my own. Would you work in my life to make me different and to give me a courage to be different? And then would you give me a desire to help others to want to be like Jesus? Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you recognizing that we have not been who you called us to be. We've not been salt. We've not been light. We have not loved or desired to be holy, to walk with you even when it meant that we would stand out and walk against the crowd. Father, we have conformed to this world. And we ask that you forgive us. But Father, we ask too that you make us who you have already called us to be. Salt and light and your people. Lord, transform us from the inside out so that people will see that we have been with Jesus and therefore we're different. And they'll ask us why we're different. And then give us courage, Father, to speak in the name of Jesus. Because we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.